Good morning and welcome to Rich Thoughts for Breakfast.
I'm Harold Herring and that's my super fine wife, Beth.
On a spectacular Sunday.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus. Our do not fear scripture for the day comes out of John 6, verse 20. John 6, verse 20. But he said to them, "It is I. Don't be afraid."
Hallelujah.
Amen to that.
We're going to be teaching today on seven ways. Well, we'll save that one for tomorrow. Today we're going to teach, thank you, Lord, the missing ingredient. Because I remember like it was yesterday, the day the Lord gave me three words. The three words, the missing ingredient. I just sat down to begin my daily Bible reading when the Lord directed me to 1 Thessalonians 5:11. 1 Thessalonians 5:11 in the New International Version, which says, "Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you're doing." As I reread that verse, he stirred the three words in my spirit once again, the missing ingredient. I asked the Lord what he meant, and here's what he said to me. Encouraging others in the word is the missing ingredient to success and prosperity. He went on to say that many of his children who want to prosper have the wrong focus. Instead of keeping their eyes on him and those he wants to bless, they focus on themselves and their own needs. Once again, my spirit was stirred as I read the Message Bible version of 1 Thessalonians 5:11, which says, "Build up hope so you'll all be together in this. No one left out, no one left behind. I know you're already doing this. Just keep on doing it." Wow, great scripture.
Mm-hmm.
My attention was immediately drawn to the phrase, "No one left out, no one left behind." I'm not saying that we don't encourage one another as friends and fellow believers, but it's all too often either convenient and or self-serving encouragement. Have you ever told someone they look nice just so they'll think that you were thinking good thoughts towards them? I realize that some, perhaps most of you on the call today, are probably saying to yourself, "No, I never do that." Have you ever had a spouse or a friend who asked you how they looked? Did you always tell the truth? Or were you just being nice to make them feel good or to avoid conflict or both?
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever read something that a friend wrote, whether it was a poem or an article? You told them it was good when in fact it was not so good. You ever complimented someone at work just so they'll like you and appreciate you more? Have you ever, as the saying goes, flattered a teacher or a boss? There's a difference between flattery and encouragement.
That is so true. First, it's very clear how God feels about flattery. It says in Job 32:22, we don't even have to go to the Proverbs yet. Job 32:22, New Living Translation, "For I tried flattery, my creator would soon destroy." If I tried it, my creator would soon destroy me. Whoops. Second, Jesus didn't like flattery, especially from religious folks. In Mark 11:43, Message Bible says, "You're hopeless, you Pharisees, frauds. You love sitting at the head table at church dinners, love preening yourselves in the radiance of public flattery. Frauds, you're just like unmarked graves. People walk over that nice grassy surface, never suspecting the rot and corruption that is 6 feet under." You know, the word that people say, well, the word says really this way, that people who use flattery have ulterior motives. It shows. 1 Thessalonians 2:5, New Living Translation. 1 Thessalonians 2:5 says, "Never once did we try to win you with flattery, as you know. And God is our witness that we were not pretending to be your friends just to get your money." So if you carefully read Proverbs 7, this is a very interesting little, study. If you read Proverbs 7 and substitute the word debt for prostitute, You will see how this analogy shows very clearly what the world and how the world would do anything to lure unsuspecting believers into their tangled web of debt and bondage. Proverbs 7, verse 5. I'm just going to use this one example. So she seduced him with her pretty speech and enticed him with her flattery. That's what the world of commercials do. They appeal to your sensual nature, to self, because they want to seduce everybody, including believers, with enticing offers. They use inviting words to make people think that their product is somehow going to make them different and more special and give them a lifestyle like the rich and famous, you know. But lest we say that we stray, let's get back to the missing ingredient. According to dictionary.com, the word flattery is defined as a flattering compliment or speech, excessive, insincere praise. Well said. The missing ingredient is not flattery, but encouragement. So what does encouragement really mean? Webster's Unabridged Dictionary says the act of encouraging, incitement to action or to practice, that which serves to incite, support, promote, advance as favor, countenance, reward, an incentive, an increase of confidence. So here are 11 scriptural facts
about encouragement. Hallelujah. The best place to find your own personal source of encouragement is the Word of God. Romans 15:4 New Living Translation. Such things were written in scriptures long ago to teach us, and the scriptures give us hope and encouragement as we wait patiently for God's promises to be fulfilled. We have a scriptural responsibility to encourage one another. That's another one. 1 Thessalonians 2:11. For you know how, as a father dealing with his children, we used to exhort each of you personally, stimulating and encouraging and charging you.
And the encouragement of the Holy Spirit, thank you, Jesus, always leads to personal and church growth. In Acts 9:31, it says this, the church then had peace throughout Judea, Galilee, and Samaria, and it became stronger as the believers lived in the fear of the Lord. And with the encouragement of the Holy Spirit, it also grew in numbers. You know, this was a great time of persecution with the elders of the church, and they understood how necessary it was to have encouragement for the people. This is what it says in Acts 13:15, New Living Translation. After the usual readings from the book of Moses and the prophets of those in charge of the service sent them this message, brothers, if you have any word of encouragement for the people, come and give it.
Wow. Next, anytime believers are together, they should be encouraging themselves in the word and their faith. Romans 15:32, New Living Translation. Then by the will of God, I'll be able to come to you with a joyful heart and will be an encouragement to each other. The next one, everything you speak about is for the should be for the spiritual progress and encouragement of others. Ephesians 4:29, New Living Translation. Don't use foul or abusive language. Let everything you say be good and helpful so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them.
Always be ready to give encouragement in the Lord. That's something we can do all day, every day to help people. Philemon 1:20 says, yes, my brother, please do me this favor. For the Lord's sake, give me this encouragement in Christ. Everywhere you go, everyone you speak with, always bring an encouraging word from the Lord. This is Macedonia and Greece, coming out of Acts 20:1. With things back to normal, Paul called the disciples together and encouraged them to keep up the good work in Ephesus. Then saying his goodbyes, he left for Macedonia. Traveling through the country, passing from one gathering to another, he gave constant encouragement, lifting their spirits and charging them with fresh hope.
That's good. Regardless of what you're facing, all encouraging and encouraging word always makes a difference. Proverbs 12:25, classic amplified. Anxiety in a man's heart weighs it down, but an encouraging word makes it glad. Wow. People who encourage others are blessed and appreciated. 1 Corinthians 16:18, New Living Translation. They've been a wonderful encouragement to me, but as they have been to you, you must show your appreciation to all who serve so well. Here's another scripture. 1 Samuel 36.
And it's a very important one for us to remember.
Go ahead and read it, baby.
Oh, well, 1 Samuel 30:6 says, "And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord."
Yes.
And you know, these were all the people who followed him, but they had been attacked. David and his men had returned home from battle to find their families had been kidnapped, and their possessions were gone and stolen, and everything had been burned to the ground. Needless to say, that was not a good day for David. And things just went from bad to worse. His men talked about stoning him. For there, you know, to exist that kind of anger against their leader, you know that things were bad. But they were in the midst of this adversity and personal grief. And David, the same way they were. But you know what? This is the thing that's so important for us to remember. David knew there was only one thing that would actually pull him out of this, to sharpen his perspective and to know what to do in a desperate, distressing, and depressing situation. He spoke and encouraged himself on what he knew to be true in God's promises. When we fill ourselves daily with the Word of God, we fill ourselves daily with it, then when things like this come up, the Holy Spirit will bring to our remembrance the words that will give us the encouragement. Remember this, the word promises that the Holy Spirit will bring to our remembrance the things we need to know at the time we need to know it. But the point of it is you can't know it unless you put it in there first.
That's true.
I mean, if you don't have it in your, like my husband likes to say, mental hard drive, if you haven't buried in God's word deep and down and in your heart, it's not going to come out at the time you need it.
That's right.
So, you know.
Let's say this. When you're going through hell, the only source of peace and deliverance is through encouraging yourself and the one who can turn things around.
Just like that.
Just like that. So here's the question. When was the last time you encouraged yourself? How about this? When was the last time? Well, what's the best way to encourage yourself?
And what's the best way? And think about the ways in which you can encourage other people.
That's it.
That's really the key.
Reading the right books is important. Making the right confessions is very, very helpful. Memorizing the right quotations will stir your faith. That's very good. Listening to the right MP3s or CDs will empower you. When was the last time someone encouraged you? How'd you feel? Did it make you, as my mom likes to say, happy, happy, happy? Think about that. I want to read you before we talk about tonight.
Yes.
I want to read you an email precious friend of ours named Maya. Got it yesterday afternoon. She said that the opportunity crisis is an opportunity. She got rear-ended yesterday by a hit-and-run driver. No damage to her vehicle, but it took off. She went to the police department to report it, and the guy that she wrote and the guy we serve showed up and showed out. When I told the officer what happened, he asked, "Was it a white work van truck that hit me? And then you were driving a blue SUV?" She said, "Yes." He said a witness just called, told us they'd seen the accident, and gave us the license plate number of the truck. Now, Maya went on to say, I couldn't help myself, but I shouted right there in the lobby of the police station.
Hallelujah. God is good.
And she wrote, thank you, Jesus. And God is so good.
Amen.
And that's the God we serve.
That is a God we serve. That's where you got your priorities right, and the Lord just likes to show up and show off for you when you stay in Him.
Amen.
Great testimony. Amen. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
She's so faithful.
Yes, and you know what? God showed up for her. That's the key to making it work. Tonight, Sunday Night Live, you're going to love it. Make you shout and run around the room, right, baby?
That's it.
Good stuff, good stuff. So join us at 6.
6 p.m.
That's it. Savior Connect or YouTube at, what's the name?
Rich Thoughts TV online.
Online.
Or Facebook.com and Brother Harold.
At Brother Harold.
Join us, you'll be glad you did.
Yes, you will.
Until then, God bless you. Happy trails.
And have a sensational Sunday.
Amen.
And keep thinking rich thoughts from
the Word
of God.
I love that, baby.
We love you and we appreciate you.
We do. Bye-bye.